So really foundation, what you eat, how your gut works, how your liver cleanses, how your hormones work, all the hormones present, and how you live your life.
Yeah, it's about finding the internal balance. And when ladies are diagnosed with osteoporosis, they spend so much time on their balance, but not thinking about the internal.
Welcome to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. I am Debbie Robinson, your host and guide on your Stronger Bones lifestyle journey.
My next guest is Dr. Ina Lozinskaya. She is a physician and an award-winning international speaker, an author, and a mentor. She is board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Integrative Medicine and fully trained in functional medicine by IFM and A4M. She is the founder of Midlife Wellness Institute in Denver, Colorado. Dr. Ina practiced hospital medicine for 26 years, taking care of the sickest patients, seeing patients spending a third of their lives suffering rather than enjoying life. Made her realize that conventional medicine is great at helping people survive, but lacks the tools to help them thrive. Her own health struggles with fatigue, insomnia, and hormone imbalance for over a decade pushed her to look for answers outside of the traditional medicine. She refused to accept this is normal and it's just your age. She studied Chinese medicine and mind-body medicine at Harvard Medical School and Ayurveda medicine at the Chopra Center. She finally found all the solutions in functional medicine. Getting her health and her life back completely transformed the way she practiced medicine. In her Midlife Wellness Institute in Denver, Colorado, she helps her patients restore energy, sleep, weight, optimize their hormones, turn back their biological clock, and feel like their best selves again. Today on Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast, I am happy to welcome Dr. Ina to the podcast today to speak to us about hormones and bone health. Welcome, Dr. Ina.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm looking very forward to this conversation because it is one that I have often with women that I work with and speak to. So I cannot wait for you to help clarify some of our questions when it comes to hormones, women's health, and bone health.
Certainly.
Okay, so let's start with the missing link in women's health when it comes to bone health. What is one of the areas that's a missing link in your experience?
So in my experience, of course, bone health, just like any other tissue in our body, there are so many things that influence it. However, what I see in medicine on these days is truly missing link, which is hormonal health, hormonal balance. And hormones are a crucial, crucial link in this whole cycle of influence, what really makes broken bone versus building bone. And hormones are just an absolutely crucial part of that cycle of preventing the break and focusing on building the bone. So I would love to speak more about hormones, and all my clients practically, I specialize in midlife wellness, and all my clients, not just women, men as well, come with questions, come with concerns. And it's so common these days to see osteopenia and osteoporosis in even younger patients that I think it's extremely important conversation.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, the thing is, the greatest decrease of bone density is 5 to 7 years postmenopause. And the major shift that's happening is the loss of estrogen and testosterone and progesterone, right? So if that's when the greatest bone density decrease is happening, and then we know that there's that strong link to hormones. So my questions for you are some of the questions that ladies ask. So then, if we're losing hormones, do we then go to bioidentical hormones or hormone replacement?
Sure. The short answer to it, sure. If something is missing, the best way to fix it is to give your body back what is missing. So if estrogen is low, and really we start seeing changes in our hormones and therefore in bones way before menopause or andropause happens. You know, we go through perimenopause at least 12 years prior to menopause. And even though the bone loss is not obvious yet, but this process already starting. And our estrogen is still good and robust. In fact, many of us are actually estrogen dominant, but the progesterone starts going downhill. And probably in good 30-40% women, testosterone will start going down at that point. And for your bones, you know, estrogen prevents bone breakdown. Progesterone actually builds the bone, and testosterone makes your bones stronger. And then, of course, there is cortisol that breaks your bond and DHEA that creates or builds it. And then there is thyroid. So there are so many hormones that actually take a part in regulating how strong your bones are. But sex hormones, once they go away with menopause, that's a major step down. And that's where if bone was getting slightly weaker and thinner for many years, now it's something just, you know, turns that switch off and all of a sudden things just start aging. And of course, bone is a living tissue in our body, so bones start aging and withering and getting thinner.
Yeah, so from a functional understanding this perspective, you've got the adrenals that are either, especially after menopause, when the ovaries are no longer making estrogen, we now have the adrenal glands to make the steroid sex hormones, which is the same place where the stress hormone cortisol, your body, you're either in the stress cortisol making zone or in the bone protective steroid sex hormone zone. And this is why it's so important with stress management. People don't understand that. So there's that one aspect that we have to, you know, regulate blood sugar, manage stress. Then there's also from a, and these are questions I'm asking you because I don't know the answers to all this, but then we have the gut that plays a role. Like when you lose your production of estrogen from your ovaries, when you're in menopause, there's that adrenal component. And then there's also a gut component of estrogen metabolism, isn't there? Right?
Certainly, definitely. So again, everything in body in the body is connected. So everything affects everything. So when you go into stress mode, and don't forget, when we go through menopause, your body had estrogen and progesterone and testosterone around for years to do so many things, not just to determine your secondary sex characteristics, but so many other things, supporting your heart, your bones, your muscles, your brain, your vascular system, your heart. And so when all of a sudden that switch goes off and those hormones are gone, it's a stress for the body. So body goes into that stressful mode. Adrenals now have to work double. You're absolutely right. Now adrenals are trying to make at least a little bit of estrogen and testosterone, and it's stressful. And so your cortisol naturally goes up when we go through menopause. And so naturally, as part of that process, cortisol, which is bone-breaking hormone, so to say, goes up. And sex hormones, which were either protective or directly bone-building, are now almost gone. So definitely bones are disadvantaged. Now your hormones are regulating your immune system. Your hormones, they're messengers. They basically go throughout the body telling certain tissues to work a certain way. And so when those some messengers are gone, body tries to sort of step in, but the tissues that were directly run by those hormones are clearly affected. Gut is one of those. Our microbiome gets normal flora that lives in our gut and determines how robust is our immune system. It's supported by testosterone and estrogen. So during the after the menopause, and many women will notice it, like, I used to be so healthy. I had, you know, one little viral infection like 20 years ago, and now I'm sick every time wind changes directions, like 3 times a winter, and it's not even that cold. So our immune system gets downregulated when estrogen and testosterone are down, and our flora, gut flora, is down. And when flora is down, we are not cleansing as well as we used to. We are not digesting and absorbing as well as we used to. In other words, when you pull those hormones out of the system, it's It's that link that holds the whole thing together. And now that you sort of unplug, all of a sudden there is this big hole in metabolism, big hole in regulation of normal processes. And genetics switches into a different mode. And all of a sudden your genes say, old, getting old, and whole body physiology switches into that aging mode. And it affects your gut, your heart, your brain, your bones, your muscle, all those tissues that either determine you young or old. And when you think about it, it's really that hormones, that big link that sort of held this whole picture together. And as you pulled it out, all of a sudden this nicely flowing system fell apart. And it tries to sort of limp along in that sort of definition of aging, if you will. But every woman who went through menopause will tell you it's never the same again. Unless you give body back what it's missing, and then it can start working again the way it used to.
So I love your approach. You wrote in your bio that you were helping people survive when you were practicing medicine conventionally or traditionally, but you wanted to actually help people thrive. So from the plug is pulled or the switch is turned when we go through menopause, which just seems so unfair, and it would be so easy if we could just turn that on, but we can't. The reality is this is life. So with all of your knowledge from a traditional, conventional, but also from this functional perspective, then what do you see as areas to focus on when we're going through menopause and when we're focusing on strong bones?
So when we go through the menopause, like I said, things change. And the routes that we're aging, or the main organs and tissues that take the burden of that aging, are your gut, your detoxification or cleansing system, which is very natural. Our body cleanses 24/7, never stops. So your gut, your cleansing system, your hormones, of course, and it's not just one hormone, it's just whole symphony of hormones where each violin, each instrument knows its tune, and you withdraw one and music changes. And so it's very important that every instrument is present and they're playing, and they're actually playing well. So all those things, and of course, bone strength and muscle strength, our skeletal tissue ages just like everything else. And your muscle is determining how robust or weak your metabolism is going to be in that second part of life. And muscles and bones are so closely related. If one tissue is going downhill, it's sort of dragging the other one with it. So if your bones become weaker, your muscle loss will actually speed up because those bones have to hold that muscle weight. And if you're losing muscle too fast, then body doesn't feed what it doesn't need. If you're losing all that muscle, why body needs to support strong bones? It's like there is barely anything to carry. So if you want to stop the clock, or what we do in our practice, not just stop it, but actually turn it back, those are the main organs that you have to focus on. You have to reoptimize your hormones. You have to make sure your gut is very working very well, and that's your normal good flora, your bacteria, good bacteria, and making sure that you make strong stomach acid still, and that you are digesting well and you're absorbing well, so body actually gets the nutrients it needs. So it's extremely important what you eat, because the only way we get nutrients in our body is something coming through our mouth, right? And if you think of it, anything that comes through your lips is really good for you, and body can utilize it to create, to build, to repair, or it's toxic and then your body has to work really hard to get rid of it. There is nothing third about it. It's very straightforward. So what you eat, how you digest, how you absorb, how your gut works, how you cleanse those things that unfortunately you had in and they don't belong, and how it all affects your hormones and how your hormones interplay, and is every instrument present in the right quantity with the right tune at the right time? And then, of course, there are many other levels. There are peptides. There are so many levels. You can go endlessly. But the absolute foundation, your gut, your liver, which is your cleansing system, your hormones, your lifestyle, your nutrition. These are five pillars that this is your foundation. And you can work on the roof, which is peptides and a million other things that we have now in longevity and anti-aging medicine. You can beautify your roof all you want. If your foundation is shaky, your beautiful roof is on the ground. So really, foundation, what you eat, how your gut works, how your liver cleanses, how your hormones work, are all the hormones present, and how you live your life.
Yeah, it's about finding the internal balance. And when ladies are diagnosed with osteoporosis, they spend so much time on their balance, but not thinking about the internal. I'm a yoga therapist. I teach 5 live classes a week. I've taught for a hospital in Southern California. I teach yoga therapy for osteoporosis. And, you know, when someone gets a diagnosis, they're so concerned about falling, of course. And so they work on getting stronger in their balance. And it's usually when I'm in a group class, 20 people in there, and I ask, what's the number one focus for you? People say balance. And yes, external balance is important to stand on one leg, but it's also so important, like you just said, that internal balance is going to build the strong, fracture-proof bones.
Yeah, it's also, you have to remember that your brain and your stress fighting system actually doesn't know the difference between what's inside and what's outside. For your brain, it's all the environment. For your adrenals that manage stress, it's all the environment. Whether it's inside or outside, it's the same. Either it's optimal and balanced, and then you go into a thriving state, or it's out of balance, and then body has to react with fight or flight survival mode. And in survival mode helps us to survive, which is good, but it's very destructive. And so, you know, short term, it's great to be able to survive if it takes 5 minutes. But if we get stuck in that survival mode, we start destroying our tissues, and hormones react, and of course, and bone and muscle and metabolism and every aspect of your health will tank and go downhill. So balance is absolutely crucial.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about stress. And it's, you know, who we are today. We came through every person to be here. We came through every grandmother, every experience she had, mother, grandmother, great grandmother. And we're so intricately wired to look for, to be safe. And it is the primary focus of the body that overrides all other things. And it's either a real threat that, yes, there's a tiger chasing you, or it's the deadline you have, or the thoughts that we have over and over, or the food that we ate that we didn't realize maybe was GMO or had pesticides on it, or that we've been exposed to all that for years. So it's multifaceted what we're up against, which is why we need tools. And I think that this is why I'm experiencing a lot of, I'm so intrigued by the traditional allopathic medical doctor that goes into the functional medicine world and really starts to look for root causes, or that all the factors that play a role, because it cannot be just a one thing. It can't be just take this pill, do this. And that's what has happened. And women are really frustrated. They go to their doctors and they are getting a diagnosis, and either their GP or endocrinologist is really pushing. These days, it seems to be some of the anabolics that are getting pushed more, the Evinity, the Prolia. The bisphosphonates, I know, have been under a little bit of scrutiny, but they're still getting prescribed, and they're the most prescribed medication. And that's the only tool. And these ladies are so frustrated. They want, what can I do? What can I do for my bone health?
Yeah, and you know, I've been through it. If you talk to most functional medicine practitioners, we came there through our own pain. We all have a story. And I remember, you know, I moved to this country when I was 25, and I was vibrantly healthy. I was practicing. We start earlier in Russia, in Europe. And so I already practiced for 3 years, and I came over here, and I was so excited and thrilled, and I was going to be a part of the best medicine in the world. I mean, that was dream coming true. And I was so driven, so passionate. I did what it takes. And you know, the boards, you have to take all the boards again, and you have to do residency again. And of course, it's super stressful. And, you know, it was new country, new culture, new food. Everything was tasting different. And I didn't know any better. I trusted that, you know, I'm in the best country in the world. So if it's on the shelf in Safeway or Kroger, gotta be like, we have FDA. So it's perfect food. And, you know, I noticed there are a lot of things in boxes and cans. And I thought, wow, how convenient for a busy doctor. So I was so excited. And like I said, I didn't know any better and I trusted the system. And I got in trouble quickly, like a year in a half, maybe less than 2 years after moving, all of a sudden I was like 15 pounds up and I had acne and my hair was falling out and I had zero energy and I was fatigued all the time and I was craving sweets. And I really genuinely, I remember thinking, I'm not sick, I'm just not well anymore. And first time, I think it was, it took me 5 years, and I was 30, and I definitely knew there was a difference in my health. And so for the first time, I actually saw a primary care doctor, and, you know, we did blood work and all that. And he's like, oh my God, you're so healthy. You're in such a great shape. You know, you're doing so well. And I thought, I don't feel well, actually. You know, I'm fatigued, I'm tired, I'm stressed out so easily. I used to be different. And so I said it. And my doctors, like the doctor I saw at the time, she said, well, you're 30, right? You're not 25 anymore. And I mean, it was a true statement. I was indeed 30. But then going forward for the next 10 years, I was getting more and more and more miserable and sicker and sicker. And I really didn't have any energy. And by the time I was 40, I got to be forgetful and I had this brain fog to the point where, you know, I was in rounds in intensive care unit and I had to really, really, really focus to remember the room number to go to. So it was really affecting my job. And doctor and had miscarriages and doctor after doctor after doctor. And it felt weird, like I was a doctor and I was doctor shop and we all sort of, you know, don't like it and we comment about it in our patients. But then I was doing the same because I was feeling worse and worse. And nobody had an explanation. And I'm on my doctor number 4, but by the time I'm 40 and we're doing the same thing and now I'm losing memory. I'm like, is it early Alzheimer's? And he's coming back to see me and he's smiling. I'm sitting there really worried what, you know, by then I was sure something bad is going on. And so I was waiting for him to come and say it's Alzheimer's, it's cancer, I mean, something. And he was smiling. He was like, you are actually healthy as a horse. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's working for you. And I said, you're not hearing me. I have no energy. I forget stuff, basic stuff. I just, things are happening. Like I'm getting worse and worse. And he showed me my labs and said, well, everything is normal. And I can promise you, we'll watch you very closely. And it's true, your labs, your blood work is sort of trends in all kinds of directions. You know, 5 years from now, things will probably change and we will not miss it. The second it turns bad, we will put you on medications, you'll be fine. And that was the first time I think I sort of realized what path I'm on. And I was working in a hospital, I was working in ICU on specialty floors. And after that appointment, and of course he said another key phrase, which I still remember, well, you're 40 now. And I thought, well, it used to be you at 40, 30, what do you want? Now it's you 40, what do you want? It was like, I just can't wait to be 50 then. It's like, I can only imagine what that's gonna be like. And I actually cried in the car driving back to work. And in rounds, for the first time, I was walking room to room. And it felt like I'm looking at my future. And I was like, these people didn't start with end-stage Alzheimer's and stage 3 cancer and diabetes, now losing their limbs and being on dialysis. They went to their doctors 20 years ago and they were assured that everything will be just fine. We will put you on a pill when time comes. And they just trusted and they waited. And I think whole society, us doctors included, like we learn nothing about health in medical schools. We learn everything about disease and how to manage it. And so we get stuck in the same basically in the same system, and we're victims of the same system, and we cannot tell our patients better because we don't know better. And I was grounding, looking at all these patients, thinking, this is my future unless I do something different. And I promised myself that I'll find the answers. I knew there gotta be an answer. Life cannot be just about getting worse and worse and worse and working like crazy your whole life. And then at some point, just like dropping dead. And before that, suffering for 20 years. It just didn't seem right. And I realized that the system I'm serving, the system I'm working for, has all the tools in the world to help people survive. And that's where traditional medicine shines, in ICU. We help people survive, but we have no tools to help them thrive. So it got to be elsewhere. And I studied Chinese medicine at Harvard, and I studied Ayurveda with Deepak Chopra in his center. And I looked everywhere, and then I found functional medicine. And magically, as soon as I started applying it, like in 3 short months, I felt like myself again. And so I realized that, you know, it's sort of, what is your goal? If you want to survive, then traditional medicine is perfect. We will not let you die. But, you know, if you want to thrive, it has to be a different approach. You cannot fight disease and become healthy. You always get more of what you focus on. So if you keep fighting disease, you will get more of it. If you want to create health, it's a whole step above. You have to step up and find very different tools to create or recreate your health. And that's just a different toolbox. And that's what functional medicine gave me. And, you know, as I applied it to my health, and so my osteoporosis was reversed. I had mild osteoporosis by then, even though I was in mid-40s, and I was not postmenopausal back then. And my hormones were all over the place. And of course, my cortisol was through the roof with the lifestyle I had and career I had. And so nothing was working well. So this whole idea of your labs are normal. Well, your labs are normal until you are truly ill. Until then, they're very much suboptimal and we feel it. And you really have to give yourself, you have to love yourself enough to not to trust yourself more than you trust the system that tells you everything is just fine. And when time comes, we have a pill for you. You really have to love yourself and respect yourself enough that you're willing to do something different. And once you get to that place, like, you know, I mean, you're helping women to overcome their osteoporosis. You don't fight osteoporosis. That's what our drugs do, but then we still see the fractures. And then, so that's obviously not a solution. When you look at the gut, at nutrition, at lifestyle, at what's happening between the ears in your mind, all of a sudden, body goes into restorative mode and osteoporosis gets reversed and muscle can be built and your hormones can be optimized. There are so many things. It's just whether you're looking for tools to be less sick or you're looking for tools to be healthy. It's just different toolboxes. And I really want to live long enough to see where these boxes merge. And 30 years from now, hopefully doctors, your regular primary care doctor will be educated and will be practicing functional medicine, but we're not there. And personally, I wouldn't want to wait. So,
wow. What a story and what a journey, but so happy that you are here to share what you're sharing. I think that the biggest thing is the messaging. And in my world of osteoporosis, the current messaging is that osteoporosis is not reversible, that bone loss is not reversible. And that's what the ladies walk into the doctor's office. So when the prescription is of a medication, they are so worried and fearful, can I really do something about my bone loss? So in your experience, is bone loss reversible? Is osteoporosis reversible?
Sure, absolutely. We reverse it day in and day out because, again, we're seeing people in midlife and bone loss is part of aging unless you do things different. It's just Osteoporosis is a natural progression of many things, just like heart disease and dementia and million other things. So do you choose to just sort of roll with a natural process for 50 years, or are you willing to do things different? And if you are, then of course bone loss is reversible. I mean, we see people getting on bioidentical hormone replacement and changing their nutrition and optimizing their gut and allowing their body to cleanse more efficiently. And we always look at the whole picture and always say, hormones have to come into a healthy body. It's very important. And so when you are re-optimizing that whole picture and give body what it needs, of course it's going into restorative mode, and of course it will rebuild the bone. We see people coming with severe osteoporosis, and it's better in a year, and it's reversed, or it's much better in a couple years. It is reversible for sure in men and women.
Wow. So the word severe comes up quite often. What is the, where is there a certain time when that word severe is used? Is there a number, or is it just depend on the physician?
No, it's actually a standard number. It's usually determined by DEXA scan, bone density scan. And that's where any classification we use, it's just a classification. A bunch of doctors get together and determine that at this level of bone loss, we're going to call it this. And at that level of bone loss, we're going to call it that. And so there is mild and then moderate and then severe. So it's really arbitrary use of numbers. We look at the risk of fracture, and you can see that, risk of fracture is less at this number and much more at that number. And so we just sort of come up with that classification. So rather than, the essence of functional medicine is focusing on root cause. You sort of step back and step back and step back and step back. In traditional medicine, because we deal with acute illness and often people come to us and they're critical, we really have to deal with consequence because that's, again, we're focused on surviving right now. And it has its own place. There is no way I could fix somebody with functional medicine in an intensive care unit. That train had sailed, that ship had sailed for the time being. So now there is a different focus. We need to survive. And when body is acutely falling apart, it's very important to deal with consequences because they're the ones who are going to be an immediate threat and reason to die. But when things are stable, and in nowadays in medicine, it's like 94% of what we see in emergency room is chronic illness, actually. And that chronic illness is not fixed when you're focusing on consequences, because everything we use, medications are great short term, they're band-aids, and they help you to get out of acute discomfort, and it's wonderful. But none of them are really meant to be long-term. Long-term, wise approach. If you come in and things are falling apart, yeah, we fix you and we use medications in the moment. But then when fires are down, now we're sitting down, looking around, seeing where that fire came from. And we're dealing with that source so it doesn't flare up again the moment we look away. Rather than constantly, it's like sort of leaking faucet, Of course, you're coming in, there is flood on the floors, you are going to mop the floor. But if that sink is clogged and your faucet is open, I'm going to spend my whole career and my whole life mopping the floors. It will never stop. So really, mopping is important so your downstairs neighbors are safe. But then at some point when you did that quick fix, now you have to look, first of all, why faucet is open, the water is running, stop that. Then it's like, okay, faucet was open, fine. Is it a root cause? Well, no, because water was supposed to go down the drain and it didn't. So what clogs the drain? So that's sort of what functional medicine does. Traditional medicine is there to fix quickly, so we're all alive, and gives us time. And then we have to look back. Is this the root cause or its consequence? Step back, step back, step back. And you keep going and exploring and testing and figuring things out until you truly know, okay, this is where water was coming from. This is where fire was coming from. And what can I do that body is designed to bounce back. We're designed beautifully, we really should be able to get in trouble and get out of it, because nature wants us to survive. And if we can't, something is blocking it. So you really have to figure out what's on the way. Is it that you're not eating things that are important for your body? Is it that you're eating something that your body actually cannot handle well? Is it that your body cannot optimally get rid of toxins? Is it that you're introducing so much that no matter how optimally you live or work, it's just too much is too much? Is it that one of the hormones is missing? Is it that one of the hormones is responding to constant stress and it's out of balance? So you really have to look at the whole picture and address it layer by layer. When whole picture gets back in balance, body can say thank you, and I promise you it will go back to working beautifully, because that's what nature wants, when it's easy and balanced.
I like that root, and not even just one root cause, because when it comes to bones or really any aspect in the body, it's multifaceted. So then it becomes root causes. I liked your analogy with the faucet, because you kind of gave a linear, almost like a focused approach to, if there are many root causes, it doesn't mean you go look for all of them, but you kind of start somewhere looking at root causes. So when it comes to bone health, and you're going to look for root cause analysis, the why behind, can you give us just a few steps of where you start, what you think are the most important areas to start in, and then where you would go from there?
Sure. So, you know, I'm hormone specialist. So of course we're on, you know, when we test multiple things at the same time. Of course, I look at at the hormones. We're looking at stress hormone, at cortisol. We're looking at thyroid, because thyroid is affecting your bone as well. We're looking at whole panel, how the whole thyroid cascade works, not how brain stimulates your thyroid. And then, of course, we look at sex hormones. We look at estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. And we're looking at DHEA. That's important. So that's sort of your hormonal picture. In terms of nutrition, so I do test the gut, that's important. And when I test the gut, I look at multiple things at once. I look at the flora. Is it depleted? Is it healthy? Are there any invaders that really shouldn't be there in the poison, that fire stirring up? Are you able to absorb? Are you able to digest? And if I see that there is an issue with digestion or absorption, then that's my clue to check the micronutrients, because, you know, it's building blocks. If bone doesn't have building, you know, if you don't have brick, it doesn't matter how good everything is, but, you know, there is nothing, no building blocks. There are no building blocks. We look at the inflammation level, because if body is inflamed, first of all, it drives cortisol up like crazy. And so that's bone breaking process. And second, when you are really inflamed, body becomes acidic. When body is acidic, your bones will give up calcium into the bloodstream just to offset that acidity, because it's not healthy. It's hard to work for the body in that environment. And so your bones will start leaking calcium for the sake of the whole thing surviving. So we're looking at those, that's sort of our first layer is actually history. I take this whole thing that I said back. You know, we sit down and we talk and I listen. And usually my first appointment with a patient is 1 to 2 hours, because we didn't arrive here overnight. Things that happened to us as a result of how we lived it up to today. And so the history gives us a lot of clues, and often it tells me where to start looking. But in terms of testing, when I'm working with somebody who has osteoporosis or osteopenia, those are the things that we test as the first layer: the gut, the hormones, the inflammatory markers, and sort of go from there. When we work with people with osteoporosis, and we have a lot of women that come in with it, you know, again, nutrition is huge. That's your foundation. Helping body cleanse healthily and safely once your gut is stable, sort of a second layer. We re-optimize hormones. We look at the lifestyle. We teach people stress management and stress reduction techniques. And so all those things are sort of like a starting point. And then depending on who needs what, we go deeper into one of the pillars, whatever is more affected for them. But, you know, if you're looking for like real quick strategies, you know, it's a huge misunderstanding in nutritional area. I'm just going by pillars now. In nutritional world, it's a result of very targeted marketing in our country. Everybody believes that if, God forbid, they're not drinking milk by gallons, they're not getting calcium. And again, it's just marketing. First of all, the biggest source of calcium is broccoli. So if you really need supplemental calcium and you want to focus on nutrition, it's your broccoli, it's not your gallon of milk. Milk actually creates acidity, and for many people, it actually gets gut out of balance, and so it makes you more inflamed. And that calcium, when you homogenize milk and it's processed and this and that, you don't get that calcium. It gets stuck in your gut wall, and it's actually not absorbable, and it causes more inflammation. So broccoli is your answer, first of all. So that's sort of quick steal in nutrition
And it
world.
has sulforaphane, which is going to support the detoxification.
Of course. And then if you're looking for like one wise thing to check, well, I guess that's the source for calcium. And then in nutrition, again, nutrition is foundation, whether we're inflamed or less inflamed or more inflamed. That's a huge source. If I had to identify just one source, I would say nutrition. And so if we're eating inflammatory foods, and unfortunately, everything processed is more inflammatory because we're not evolutionary, we're not created to eat that stuff. So body gets confused. So if something comes in a package or a can, I usually say if it doesn't grow on a tree or a bush, or it's not eaten by somebody who's eaten that bush, we're not designed to eat it. And if we're not designed to eat it, body will look at it as a toxin, and it will have to work extra hard to get rid of it. So make it easy for yourself. Decrease the amount of processed food. If you can't stop it, it's great. Oils that we get, seed oils. You know, I test people in our practice, and most will have ton of omega-6 and very little of omega-3. And it's not omega-3 deficiency. It's just we get so much omega-6 that our balance is abnormal. And so getting people off inflammatory seed oils is huge. And so, you know, again, make it easy for your body to work well. Your olive oil, your avocado oil, your, I don't know, coconut oil, your ghee butter is so much healthier than seed oils, all this canola. You know, it makes us inflamed. And now body has to deal with inflammation, which means calcium is coming out of the bone to help your body survive. So you're working against yourself. So nutrition is probably the easiest and fastest life hack, I would
Okay,
say.
so you said dairy and seed oils. How do you feel about gluten?
So gluten is huge. For people who have autoimmunity, gluten is, I don't even care. Like, we check food sensitivities, and I see a lot of people in red zone with gluten. But if somebody comes to me with autoimmune disease, before we run food sensitivity test, before I see, and practically no matter whether I see gluten in the red zone or not, gluten just opens your gut wide and wide leaky. And leaky gut is a third and most important cause for your body to go into autoimmune mode. And there is plenty of data out there nowadays that osteoporosis probably is autoimmune condition, or at least it has autoimmune component. So really, gluten, unfortunately, is not good for the body. It's hard to digest. It's hard to process, especially now that all wheat was so genetically modified for so long. And we get Roundup in our soil, so we practically don't get clean grains. And even if it says GMO free and it's organic, so technically that, you know, it's not used, pesticides were not used, but remember, since early 60s, they were used everywhere. We don't have soils that wasn't exposed to it. So just because they're not using it now, it's going to be in the soil for the next 100 years or so, and so at least. And so just because it's labeled organic right now, you know, grain is a grain. It still has traces of that stuff, and it wrecks your gut, and we know that there is plenty of data now, even in traditional medicine, they're now talking about gut permeability, which is a very fancy name for leaky gut. So bottom line is, no matter how you call it, fancy or unfancy, bottom line is gluten sort of works like key, and it unlocks in, usually when I see my patients at the beginning, I will draw a picture where the gut cells are standing shoulder to shoulder. And the space between those shoulders is called tight junction. And the reason it's so important is it's not glued together. And the reason it's not glued together, because as we eat something that gets digested to the tiniest molecules possible, those molecules should be able to squeak by through that tight junction and get into bloodstream and go nourish the body. Well, when you inflame your gut lining, that tight junction is no longer tight. So the cells are inflamed, then everything is swollen. They're not standing shoulder to shoulder anymore. There is quite a gap in between, and so everything can go through. So all of a sudden, your body starts seeing the things that it's not meant to see. Your gut is designed to deal with anything. Everything comes in. Gut is a filter. It's basically your first filter. Things that belong will get digested, come into the bloodstream. Things that don't belong come out as a blood bowel movement. But when the gut is leaky, all that stuff is now going into bloodstream, making you inflamed. You get inflamed, your cortisol goes up as a response, your bone starts dissolving, and it's generously and selflessly gives the calcium away into the bloodstream to help you somehow deal with it. So gluten is just generally not a great food for anybody who has any kind of inflammation. And in bone health, if you're dealing with osteoporosis, it's just not something you should eat.
Yeah, and I see, because I run functional labs, and I see a correlation between thyroid, and I know that gluten is terrible for thyroid.
Yeah.
And so thyroid, cholesterol, and osteoporosis. Food is medicine, and it's also poison.
Yeah.
Okay, so gluten and dairy. I'm so happy to hear you say that, because those are my two big ones. I say gluten, dairy, sugar. Those are like three main, because the sugar is inflammatory, but it also will feed the opportunistic gut microbes, leading to that imbalance. And we need those good, the gatekeepers of our mucosal barrier. So you're talking about food, and that was kind of your biggest, is that where your step one when you work with ladies with us?
That's a starting point. If that, you know, while hormones are a missing link, key link, super important link, you can't just assume that you will get on bioidentical hormone replacement and things just work again. Again, hormones have to come into a healthy body. And we get people coming to us from different practices that are on bioidentical hormones, and they say, you know, I actually don't feel any better. And some actually get into complications. And the whole reason is the foundation is not addressed. Again, nutrition is important. Gut health is important. Detoxification is important. When foundation is in place, then hormones work beautifully, but they don't substitute.
Right. So that's a step to go first, because if you can actually unblock and unclog your system and free up your flow internally, then you might not even need hormone replacement, because you might have ample enough hormones to help support your bones.
Well, in perimenopause, that's true. In somebody whose physiology is not working well and hormone levels are low because you're in stress, stuck in stress physiology. Yeah. And we see, you know, sometimes we get people who are like, we get women who are extremely stressed out, very not feeling well, their heart flushing, and they're 43, and they come in and they say, am I going into menopause? And sometimes we reoptimize things, and all of a sudden heart flushes go away and hormone levels get better. So sometimes if your hormone imbalances are due to stress physiology and high inflammation, then things will get back when body gets what it needs. If somebody is very close to menopause or andropause, or they've already gone through, you know, body makes tiny bit. It's true, the levels are never zero. But you also have to remember that, you know, 100 years ago, we lived to be like mid-50s at best. And so our physiology is designed that we wouldn't go through our reproductive years, get through the menopause by, on average, by age 51, 52. And then, you know, we're not working anymore and we babysit our grandkids for another 3-4 years and we're done with life. And for those extra 3 years, you know, you're just fine with barely having any estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But nowadays, we live to be 90s. And living without hormones for 40 years is going to drag you through every single aspect of aging, including disease. And so once people go through menopause, or, you know, if we're talking men's health, through andropause, you can optimize symptoms using other things. But the only way to truly stop the clock and reverse bone loss, if it's there, meaningfully and keep it where you are, you really need hormone replacement. And it has to be bioidentical because, again, body needs what it used to have, what it knows, what it recognizes well. So it can be synthetic stuff. But, you know, nothing, when everything else is balanced, nothing really substitutes what's missing. You can use Band-Aids, herbs will help with symptoms, nutrients will help with symptoms, but again, when hormone is truly missing because of the age and menopausal state, the only way to truly meaningfully reverse the process, hormones have to be there.
Okay, well then that brings me up to questions, because what if someone is 65, newly diagnosed with osteoporosis, 12 years past menopause, is that too late to go on BHRT?
Short answer is no, it's not. Long answer. So data so far shows very clearly that if you start bioidentical hormone replacement within 6 to 10 years of menopause, over the course of the next year or two, you will reverse the damage, tissue damage that happened. If you start hormones later than that, you're probably not going to reverse what already happened. You can stop it, you can improve it a little bit. So there is still a benefit of preventing disease downstream. It's just different again, you know, there is only so long. And again, data is evolving. Who knows? Initially, we believed if menopause already happened. Now we're looking at the data, looking back and saying, you know, 6 to 10 years, we actually get improvement and reversal of the damage. So who knows what longer studies will show and more data. But in our practice, I mean, we screen, you know, some women have certain risk factors where they just shouldn't do bioidentical hormone replacement, or it's riskier, and not everybody obviously is up for that risk, and not every practitioner is comfortable starting. So there are certain specific situations, and there are few of them. But in certain situations, well, you can't really or shouldn't do bioidentical hormone replacement right now. In other cases, just because there were so many years and you're not going to get 100% benefit, you know, I'll take 80. It's still better, because if I stop tissue damage now, we have women who come to us, you know, if somebody comes into my office and they're using a walker and they're super sick and they're on 25 medications, you know, hormones is not their main priority. But if, you know, we see a lot of professionals, actually most of our most of our clients are professionals, entrepreneurs. We see people commonly, they're in their 70s, they start new companies, they're doing business there. And yes, they love their grandkids and they babysit when they get a chance, but they have a career, they travel the world, they have great quality of life, they have decent health, and they have severe osteoporosis, and they feel limited. You know, you have to be very careful. You have to know what you're doing when you're starting hormones after that long of a gap. So there are some rules of how to do things safely. But it's, you know, some practitioners are not comfortable with it. Some are more comfortable. I personally believe that we deserve to live life to the fullest. And Sometimes system unfortunately fools us into not taking care of ourselves for a while. I think you deserve to feel great and love the way you look and feel at any age. And you know, whenever you stopped and feel ready and you want more from life, we're here to support you. We'll do it in the safest way possible. We will make sure that, you know, we'll plug every hole. But you know what? It's not about number. I see, even in traditional medicine, I used to have 92-year-old who, it's actually a true story, the guy was fixing his roof. He was 92 and he fell off the roof. And he was an avid golfer, and so he fell off the roof, obviously multiple fractures, broke his hip, among other things, and we're wheeling him to the OR to fix his hip. And I was a hospitalist at the time, so he was on my service, and he's like, "Doc," and it was, I don't remember, it was like Monday or Tuesday, and he's like, "Doc, whatever you do, I need to be out of here by Thursday. I am scheduled for tea time at 7, and I better be there." You know, he was 92. It didn't matter. We didn't get him to the golf course that Thursday, but you better believe he was there like 2 weeks later, because there is drive to live, there is quality of life. And then I saw, you know, some people who were admitted, same hospital, same beds, and they were like 61 and they were super sick and depressed and no quality of life. And so we choose how we want to live. And if we want more from life, I'm here to help you.
Yeah, well, we need the knowledge and we need more doctors like you that help people that are 61 and have given up and are depressed. And they're there like, "Here, doctor, fix me." If the messaging can then be, "Well, let me teach the lifestyle to get you to that place," because that's really what it is. It's multifaceted. It's lifestyle based. Yeah. This has been such an insightful conversation. Really, I cannot tell you enough the conversations I have with women, the frustration with the GP, with the endocrinologist, with the future appointments they have, with the arguing they believe they're going to have to do with their physicians. And they want to be respectful. They want a collaborative session, not, you know, "Here, take this pill." It wants to be, "Well, what else?" But they just don't know. It's not part of the education. And the pills are what's recommended. But you've given us so much information today about what is possible and what you see. And so you are located in Colorado?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
Yes, we're locally, we are in Denver, Colorado. We do see some people fly to see me from different states, but yeah, we're mostly in Denver.
Okay, but people can come from other states. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm a functional health coach. I run some of the labs I'm assuming you ran. And so I hope that more physicians learn this and treat women from a functional perspective, helping them understand, like, thank you, music to our ears. Yes, osteoporosis is reversible. Yes, bone loss is reversible. Depending on where you are on that scale, osteoporosis is reversible. And that empowers women to realize that they can be in charge of their body and their bones as they age.
We are the only ones who are truly in charge of our body. You know, your doctor only knows so much. And again, I'm a part of that system. I practiced traditional medicine for 26 years. I absolutely love it for what it can do well. I'm just very aware that it doesn't do well everything like we pretend. We just don't know what we don't know. And so if you see a doctor and doctor tells it's impossible, well, you know what? Don't get upset. Go look for another doctor. Yeah. Who gets to tell me what is possible except me?
Yeah. That's a great place. Like, who gets to tell me what to do except but me? It's just that when we go into the doctor's office, there's so much respect and you're walking into a place where your power is with that other person. And people were not as sick as they are today. And if you are looking at a disease that's not lifestyle based, if you're looking at acute illness, yes, the doctor can help you in that moment. But when it is lifestyle, then it's you that needs to take the bull by the horns and do what you can.
Never give away your powers. They're yours by birth. It's your birthright. Never give away your powers. No matter who you see, and you know, it's your power. You're looking for helpers along the way. That's true. That's why you see this doctor and this practitioner and that practitioner. You see who you resonate with in a moment, but powers is always yours.
We're going to end with that because the power is theirs. And that is why I do Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. That's why I look for physicians like you to share that wisdom and that piece of information, because that's empowering. Well, Dr. Ina, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. I'm sure that I'm going to get a lot of feedback from this episode on Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Stronger Bones Lifestyle Podcast. Bone loss is not an inevitable part of aging. We don't have to just wait for it to happen. There is so much that you can do. And that is what you will learn each week on the show. Go to my website, debbierobinson.com, if you want more information about what was shared in today's episode. At the bottom of this episode in the show notes, there will be links to whatever was shared. Please subscribe to this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends, your family, or any women that you think may be interested or benefit from the information we're sharing. Please rate the podcast. And if you have any questions you'd like asked or answered, I would love to hear from you. Let's do this, ladies. Let's change the way the world views osteoporosis and slow down, stop, or reverse our bone loss, take charge, and show other ladies what is possible. Thank you so much for joining me.